Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
So Peter's answer gives us the marks of a true disciple. One, there's devotion. There's devotion to Christ. He says, where will we go? We believe in you. Where are we going to go? You're true. You're right. I'm devoted to you, not because of a message, not because of a storm, but because of who you are. Peter's life had changed dramatically. He had experience to go along with him. Man, he called me out. He did this. And things have changed for me. Where am I going to go?
Are you just a disciple of Jesus, or are you a child of God? Being a disciple simply means that you follow and learn from the teacher. But just being a disciple doesn't mean you're saved. In today's message, Pastor Troy explains that we must do more than just follow along and go to church. We need to move from learning to believing, to trusting Jesus with our lives. Then you become part of the kingdom of God. You're redeemed, set free from the guilt of sin. Now here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
When you see something wrong in someone's life as a Christian, you don't go to them and demean them and put them down because of it, but you help them up. You help them see it, and you say it as a concerned friend. Hey, I see this. Hey, I notice this. Hopefully, there's a misunderstanding, and they can explain and clarify, but sometimes they don't see things, and we need to learn to be a good friend. I think this whole political correctness idea has beat us so into submission that we don't even say unkind things, even if they're true to someone that would help them. If it's true, we should be able to say it to our friend in love. All of those factors. We're all going to be challenged by God's word. It's the truth. And the reason is because we're all sinners. How we respond, though, now that exposes something about us and what we believe. Look at verse 64. Verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Third thing, hard truths, but this is true. True motives will be discovered. True motives will be discovered over time. Sometimes it's in our body language. We speak three different ways with what we say. That communicates a message. How we say it communicates a message. Tone of voice that we use communicates a message. Those three things speak. And you may say something with your words, but they often put a higher value on what they see with your body language. If you walk away, if you stomp away, if you seem disinterested, whatever it might be, they see it. You're saying, no, I love you. And you give this look of, I hope they don't discover. Well, they see that look. You're not being serious. So there are those three forms of communication. And over time, true motivations are discovered. Notice it says this, many of his disciples walked with him no more. What? Disciples walked with him no more? How can that be? It sounds like a contradiction. They're disciples. Now, we're not talking about the 12. There were many disciples that were following after him at the time. But how could disciples walk away? Well, it's easy, because we have to first define the term disciple. Don't confuse disciple with all-in believer. A disciple is not necessarily an all-in believer. And so, what is a disciple? Well, the word for disciple is a word that means learner, follower, student. So that's a disciple. Did I say anything about believing in? No. Learner, follower, student. They look like a believer. A lot like a believer. But they're not a believer. There's no transformation that takes place. They're just a disciple, a follower. They're there. They're learning. What these guys do, these are individuals who follow Jesus to learn and to support his principles. I believe in this stuff. Man, I received this stuff. This is good stuff. This will change my life. I'll use this. This is good. Maybe they felt that he's the pioneer of the next great thing. And so, yeah, I'm in, man. I'm in with this guy. This guy's got a radical concept. I'm in. I'm going to follow, listen, do what he says to do. That's a disciple. They follow the guy. It's a different kind of following than a believer does. But it's a practical, physical kind of a following. And it can be hard to tell the difference in the crowds. Now, let me read something here to give us a little perspective before we move forward. But it says, there was a man who left church one Sunday after the sermon. And as he was going out to his car, he was grumbling about the sermon. He didn't like it. Maybe it was one of those hard sermons like today. He's grumbling about the sermon. He gets in his car. They pull out. He begins to grumble about the traffic that he's got to put up with on the way home, how miserable it is. He grumbles about how hot it is as they're walking in the house. Man, it's hot. Nah, nah. And then he goes in. They serve lunch, and he kind of grumbles about the food. This again, this and that. And so just before they're about to eat, he says, okay, family, let's pray. And they begin to pray. And he says, Lord, thank you for this food. Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the message today. Thank you for all these things that we have. Amen. So his little boy was sitting there and he looked very, very confused, very perplexed. And he said, Daddy, can I ask a question? I said, yes, son. What do you got? He said, did Jesus hear you when you were complaining about the sermon and the traffic and the food and the heat? Did Jesus hear you? He goes, well, a little embarrassed now. Yeah, he heard. And then he paused and said, did Jesus hear you when you gave thanks for the food and the day and the sermon? And he said, yeah, Jesus hears everything. And the boy said, well, Dad, which one did he believe? Here's what I want to bring out to you. Just lay at your feet here. The guy in real life was a grumbler and a complainer, not happy about or happy with anything. But at the right moments, thank you, Lord. Oh, bless you, bless me, Lord. But which was the real him? Which was the real him? See, I want to ask you now, what's or who is the real you? Who are you really? See, God's word does a transforming work in our life that changes who we are really. Not who we are publicly or just publicly, but who we are really. See, he's with us all the time. He breaks down in our life. His word breaks down in our life so that we're aware of it everywhere, not just on the stage, but everywhere, even when it's just me and another person. Even when it's just me by myself sitting in front of a computer. So who is the real you? Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus said this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Who is it? Not the ones who say, Lord, Lord, but he who does. He who changes. He who is being transformed. Many will say to me, verse 22, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Those are the disciples following, 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 listening, embracing. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So there's a difference in simply a disciple, someone who's following, going to church, attending church. I go to church. You can't tell the difference in them, really. They'll stand and they'll worship. That's what we do. They'll do all the same things. They're a discipler. Because they're a discipler and they're being discipled, they're studying too. They're learning. They're hearing it. They're quoting scriptures. Man, they might know more scripture than a genuine believer, a young genuine believer. How do you tell the difference? Well, that's why God says, I know who they are. I know who they are. You may not be able to tell, but I can. Sometimes true motives are discovered here. Over time, a person walks away from the Lord, goes back into their former life, and just doesn't look back. At one time, they were carrying their big Bible, marked up, speaking fluent Christianese. Hallelujah, amen, glory. And they were speaking the language, they were doing it, they looked great in worship. But something happens. Maybe they even became part of the church staff. They made it that high, very convincing. Well, they're disciples. They're following, they're learners. Oh, got to jump through this hoop to be a pastor? Okay, I'll jump through those hoops. So they've gotten there. But at some point, like a Judas, something buys them out. Or something happens that gives them reason to leave. Whether it's unmet expectations, thought this was going to be a lot bigger, it's not, so man, I don't need to be part of this. Or hard messages, a hard message, like the mass group that gathered before Jesus who are going to leave him. Or a storm hits. Well, where's Jesus? I don't want storms. I want to be protected from storms. Therefore, if I'm going to have storms anyway, I might as well have them and have my fun in the world. Something happens. And the crowds are showing their motives by their movement. They're walking away. It was a hard message. And they walk away. They didn't walk away and consider. They walked away. This is not what I'm in for. But listen, true disciples, Jesus' true disciples here, they've gone through unmet expectations already. Jesus didn't do anything they thought he would do, and the way that they thought he should do it. Their expectations were let down on many occasions. Like, why did you do it? Why don't you teach them this way? I don't know. You're just not saying things. In fact, right here, this would be an unmet expectation. Lord, this is not the right message for church growth. So unmet expectations, did they pass? Boom, yes. How about a storm? We went over that a couple weeks ago, right? They've been through a storm. They've seen they'll be okay. And now they deal with the hard message.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Oh my. Oh my, why did I bring my friends today? But look at their response, verse 67. Very important. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. So he's saying, look, I've said to you guys, follow me, even though one of you isn't a follower. I've invited you, I've called you, I brought you around, and even that doesn't make you a follower, a true believer. Did I start? Did I initiate? Yes, I did. I initiated all of it. I brought you around. But does that alone make you a true believer? No. I know one of you doesn't. So here's the fourth thing today, and that is true disciples will not leave. True disciples aren't bought. True disciples don't look back and longingly run back into the world. True disciples don't leave. A large group of disciples decided, you know, he's speaking hard words, harsh words, and we don't like these demands. We don't like this. This is hard. And he's not meeting our expectations on top of that. And so we're out of here. We're gone. Then he turns to the 12 and he says to them, how about you? Peter speaks up. Peter says, well, and it's not like Peter goes, no, we're all in, man. I'm with what you said, man. You tell it to him. No, Peter was even like, where else are we going to go? Like, yeah, I mean, this is hard, but where am I going to go? You have the truth. So what you're saying is hard, but it's true. So Peter's answer gives us the marks of a true disciple. One, there's devotion. There's devotion to Christ. He says, where will we go? We believe in you. Where are we going to go? You're true. You're right. I'm devoted to you, not because of a message, not because of a storm, but because of who you are. Peter's life had changed dramatically. He had experience to go along with him. Man, he called me out. He did this. Man, things have changed for me. Where am I going to go? So there was a sense of devotion. A true disciple sees leaving Jesus as a non-option. It's not optional. You know why? Because when you're a true disciple, when you're a true believer, a Christian is not what you try to be. It's who you are. You don't try to be a Christian. That person needs to be transformed. You are a Christian. You believe in him. The hard things happen. There's conviction. And you want to run, but you go, where am I going to go? So there's a sense of devotion. Number two, there's satisfaction. There's satisfaction in him. Peter says, you alone have the words of eternal life. In other words, you have given words that enlighten me toward what's true. I have hope because of you. I have direction because of you. I have everything because of you. I'm satisfied in you. Oh, sure, there are other things that pop up and I'd really like to go. But really, when I think about life, real life, you alone have those words. You alone have what I need. Once you've tasted and stood in the light, having tasted truth, living in truth, not hiding anymore, not letting deception be all around you so that you have to hide and you have to lie and you can't be out in the open and breathe free. Once you start living in truth, not lying, not deceiving, not trying to draw people to your side, but going, look, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Let me fix it. Let me adjust it. But I want to do things the right way. I want to do things in a way that glorifies the Lord. When you start living that way, you go, man, you breathe so much easier. This is the place to be. And who wants to go back to crawling under a rock, hiding, deceiving? There's satisfaction in the Lord. There's satisfaction in the light, being in him. Number three, conviction. Verse 69, Peter says, also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He has a conviction that's not politically correct. He says, look, I believe in you. It doesn't matter what anyone else says or does. Even though the crowds run away and cry out and say, away from him, he is not our king, which will happen. That day will come. Even if that happens, I have a conviction that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah, the one we're looking for. There is no other. True disciples are anchored by a faith in Christ, not a feeling. And this is a faith that is added to. It's added to. The more you walk with him, the more things are confirmed and you are just built up and your faith is increased in the Lord. And it's confirmed by God himself. But others who just walk for a time, they're disciples, they're learners. They go for a time, but something can cause them to walk away. Something can do that. But not for the person growing in faith. You're growing. You're increasing. You're being built up. It's who you are. And look at what 1 John chapter 2, verse 19 tells us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Time would tell. You can endure for a week. You can endure for a month. You can endure for years. But are you really a believer? There's some great things about Christianity. There's some great things in lots of religions. But Christianity in particular, some great things. People use some of these principles to succeed in business in the world. It's great things, great stuff to follow, great principles, philosophies. But those won't save you. Those will only sustain you and keep you on a course for so long. But those who truly believe will be there till the end. So do you believe? True disciples are anchored by faith in the Lord. The Word of God has some hard truths, and I believe it's to knock away the crowds. See, we're not supposed to be a seeker-friendly place. Let's bring them in. Let's bring them in. Just bring them in. Bring them in. Then slowly we'll just kind of, you know, is Christ in you? You know, we'll just kind of lovingly. No, life's too short. And that's not even the way Jesus did it. There were times, hey, it's growing. Yeah, we need a hard message. Let's find out who the real ones are. I can't, you know, it's hard for us to minister. We're going to waste all our resources on those who aren't really genuine believers. We're taking care of each other here. And other people are trying to come in and take the resources, take our time and our energy. So how about a hard message? And the crowds dwindle. And they go, oh, I guess my counseling schedule isn't as busy as it once was. There's only a few of us here now. True life will come by death. True words can be hard to hear. True motives will be discovered. It can be over time. But let me tell you this, true disciples will not leave. They don't. So have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you have a relationship with Him? Do you really believe in Him? Not your neighbor. You know, your neighbor. My neighbor believes in Him and I believe in my neighbor. No. Do you believe in Christ, the Christ of your neighbor, the Christ of your spouse, the Christ of your parents or grandparents? Do you believe? Because if you do, here's what happens in your life. It's, I've got money, I've got income, I've got a time and a schedule and a calendar, and here I got it. So if you're a disciple, you carry it around and you go, all right, teach me the Bible. Ooh, that's, I don't like that. That's a hard word. I'm going to another church. And so you got all your stuff. You may go, oh, you know what? That's true. I don't need that. That's true. I feel a little bit better. So that's a disciple. But a believer goes, it's yours, Lord. Everything. So what do you want me to do with it? How do you want me to spend it? How do you want me to live it? What do you want me to do? What do you say is right? Now that's a believer. It's different than just a disciple. And we need to be very clear on that truth. Today, if you're not a genuine believer, this could be the day God speaks to your heart and says, let's not play games anymore. There's no work going on in your life. You're toying with Christianity. You're toying with me. You're a disciple. You know a lot about the Bible. You can say it. You can spit it out. You're at church. But there's no transformation taking place. Today can be the day the living God takes up residence in your life, breaks down in you, maybe breaks you down, and becomes part of who you are. And you will never be the same.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Needley will teach again in the book of John as he goes verse by verse and chapter by chapter through this gospel book. If this series has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love to hear from our listeners about their experience with this ministry. Let us know if you have any questions about our radio program. In addition to hearing encouraging messages here on the radio, it's important to be involved in a local church. If you live in or are visiting the San Antonio area, come visit Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our church website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're unable to be there in person, join us online. Again, our website is buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all for today. Be sure to tune in again for more from the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your